Good morning, Cornerstone. Good morning. Who's thankful for the extra hour of sleep? Yeah. So if you fall asleep, it's my fault. My name is Hojin, and I'm the young adult pastor here at our church, and I have the great privilege of sharing God's word today, and I want to guarantee I'm going to do everything to preach what I believe God wants to say to us with all of my heart. It is reported that 1.7 billion servings of Coca-Cola products are consumed daily. 1.7 billion servings of Coca-Cola. Some of you are having many servings of those. And one of their claims to their fame and success is their formula, their secret recipe. And as you can see, the special ingredient is natural flavorings, whatever that's supposed to mean. And they say it's from plant and natural extracts, and this ingredient is locked in their museum in Atlanta, Georgia. It gives Coke that unique taste, which is why you probably prefer it over Pepsi. If you like Pepsi, you might have to go to a different church. But what is it about, you know, secret ingredients that, you know, companies, whether it's Coke, that want to reserve for itself. They want to preserve it because it's their key to success. And as we think about, you know, we're in our last sermon series through Cornerstone's mission and vision statements, I want to say that this last segment of the vision statement is a key component to the success, not just of Cornerstone, but of the universal church. What is the secret ingredient for a truly blessed life? What is the secret ingredient to achieving our own as a local church, Cornerstone Church of Boston, becoming a church without walls? Today, we look at that last verse, serving the marginalized in our society. We want to be a church without walls by serving the marginalized in our society. Those who have been forgotten, those who have been ignored and overlooked by the world. So if you have your Bibles today, we're going to look at Isaiah 58, verse 6 to 12. If you're coming to the Young Adult Retreat, we're actually going to spend the entire weekend in Isaiah, so be looking forward to that. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you could read along with me on the screen. Again, it's Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 12. Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 12. Verse 6, is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking with wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray before we continue. God, we pray a simple prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The context of Isaiah 58 is that God has called the Israelites out. He's calling them out. He sees that their worship is flawed. He sees that their worship is hypocritical. A lot of them were fasting and wondering why God wasn't seeming to take notice. Right before our passage in verse 3, God reads their minds and sees their hearts. He says, this is God speaking as if Israel is speaking to him. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? So the Israelites are talking to God and say, hey, we're fasting. What's the deal? Why aren't you paying attention to us? And God says, behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure. You seek your own pleasure. God calls them out on their hypocritical worship. Hypocritical worship is worshiping in order to get something back from God. God does not want any of that. Hypocritical worship is the worship that seeks our own pleasure. And if I'm honest with you all, I'm guilty of hypocritical worship. I tend to pray a few extra minutes when I have an important deadline to meet. When I have a task, when I have a task I need to complete. I commit to reading the Bible a few extra minutes, read it a little extra faithfully, because I want to receive a solution to a difficult situation I'm facing. I might even give a little extra offering on Sundays because I hope God hears my prayers a little bit better, like fine-tuning a radio. It'll come crystal clear what my prayer requests are. And if I'm really, really desperate, I'll fast from food in order to receive extra blessings. And I know if I examine my heart, I'm prone to hypocritical worship. Worship that seeks my own pleasure. And Pastor Danny led us in worship, didn't he? He says, we're not worshiping just for ourselves. We're worshiping to bring glory to God. But thanks be to God that God gives us verses 6 to 12, because I think he shows us an alternative to the type of worship that Israel was offering. He gives us the secret ingredient to success. In his eyes, in his kingdom, what we can do in our short lives here and what we will do forever in eternity. So God speaks through Isaiah in verses 6 and 7. Is this not the fast that I choose? And there's this list of actions. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Each of these statements has to do with freedom. There are people who are not free in this world. There are people who are systemically stuck, oppressed, kept back. In verse 7, he says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? If you have the New International Version in front of you, it says, not hide yourself from your own flesh and blood, like your family members. In verse 7, God is focused on the needs of those who lack. So freedom is what worship should be concerned with. Providing what people lack should be what our worship should look like. In comparison to the fasting that the Israelites were doing for their own gain, God shows us the type of worship that he prefers to see. Worship that's focused on others, worship that is focused on the oppressed, the hungry, the naked, the forgotten, worship that is oriented towards the marginalized in our society. So I want to show why this is a secret ingredient from our passage. Why it's a secret ingredient. The first reason is that serving the marginalized draws us to God's presence. Serving the marginalized draws us to God's presence. When we participate in serving the marginalized, we experience God's presence in deep and powerful ways. Our passage, actually, it's constructed with two if-then statements, two conditional statements. So we read verses 6 and 7. If you are concerned with the freedom of those who don't have freedom, if you are concerned with the needs of those who lack, then in verses 8 and 9, then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And verse 9 right here, then you shall call, the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. There is something about serving the marginalized that allows us to be able to call and cry out to God, and he hears us. He promises to answer and to respond. When we serve the marginalized, God promises to be near to us and to hear us. One commentator, he says, do you want God to answer your prayers? Be his answer to someone else's prayers. Do you want God to come in his immediacy and say to you, here I am? Get close to someone who needs you and say, here I am. And it's a little absurd to think that we can pray to God, we can call out to God, and he's the one saying, here I am. Elsewhere in Scripture, do you know who's supposed to say, here I am? God's people are supposed to say that. So there is something about serving the marginalized that triggers something in God to be available to us, to be present for us, to hear us. When our worship is expressed in this way, we are drawn to God's presence. God promises to be near and to hear. Have you ever experienced a time when you gave to somebody, but you felt like you received much more back? You serve someone sacrificially, and you feel like you just got back so much more from that person. This was supremely true of me when I went on a mission trip in 2012 to a missionary family, Benny and Janice Yu. Cornerstone actually supports this family. They work in Mexico City with victims of human sex trafficking. Many of them minors, and female. The trip, really, it resulted in the team getting more blessed, and I think it's because of Benny and Janice and their family. As we served, we witnessed how intimately close they were with God. They prayed, and they sensed the Holy Spirit much more keenly than the team. We went with the idea of helping them and blessing them. You know, they prayed for every single team member one by one during our time there. They prayed for us. It felt like almost more than we prayed for them. And the team experienced God in powerful ways because I believe God was so present to Benny and Janice as they were serving the marginalized in Mexico City. Serving the marginalized helps us offer true worship to God because it draws us into God's presence. We understand his heart, we understand his character and his deeds much better when we serve the marginalized. Second, serving the marginalized, excuse me, not a good sound to amplify. Serving the marginalized connects us to God's glory. Serving the marginalized connects us to God's glory. Verse 12 reads, and your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of your many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. And here God is talking to Israel, who just saw their holy city, Jerusalem, destroyed. A rival kingdom came and destroyed their city. And elsewhere in Isaiah, God says that he will rebuild that city. He will restore them. He will repair. But here, he says, you shall raise up the foundations. You shall be called repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. It's as if God wants to give the credit to the Israelites, even though he's the one doing it. When we serve the marginalized, God shares his glory with us. We get to participate in the restoration that God wants to do in this broken world, And we get recognition and we get credit that ultimately we get to redirect because we know that it's God at work. Some of you have might have seen this, but last Monday, it was Halloween, and on a flight from Boston's Logan Airport to San Francisco, a dad of a 3-year-old girl passed out these little envelopes, these little envelopes with a note on it. And I'll read it for you. So he's handing it out to passengers. "Happy Halloween. My 3-year-old daughter Molly was bummed that she could not go trick-or-treating this year due to this flight. So I decided to bring trick-or-treating to her. If you are willing, when my little donut," she was dressed in a donut costume, "when my little donut comes down the aisle, please drop this in her basket. You'll be making her Halloween. If you're unwilling, no worries, just pass the treat back to me. Thanks so much." A stranger caught these pictures, and this stranger shared on Twitter with this comment, "OMG, my heart is exploding right now. Dad of the year just passed out candy to everyone on this flight so his 3-year-old could trick-or-treat." This dad wanted to make his 3-year-old daughter happy. But by passing out these little envelopes full of candy to the passengers, these passengers got to participate. And I hope this little girl, as she was going down the aisle, was thanking each passenger. And she was probably clueless to the fact that her dad provided the candy for trick-or-treating. Serving the marginalized is kind of like this, in a much grander scale. God gives us all that we need to serve. You might think you don't have enough time, energy, resources. That is so not the case. There are so many statistics that tell us how wealthy we are in terms of time, energy, and even resources, financial resources. God provides us with everything. We get to be generous with it. People thank us, and we worship God. We point to God. We tell them to worship God. And serving the marginalized gives us a chance to say in a similar fashion, OMG, literally, oh my God. My heart is exploding right now. Dad of the entire universe gave me something to give to the marginalized. God loves, serves, and gives to those who could never pay him back. Do you know that? He enjoys to do so. He loves, serves, and gives to those who could never, ever pay him back. And he finds great joy in doing so. Yeah, he sent his son Jesus, and it was sacrificial, but you know how much joy he has experienced by doing that? The cumulative joy that he gets to experience Sunday after Sunday, every day of our lives when we devote ourselves to him and worship him, it brings him great joy. Chiefly through the person of Jesus. There is no way we could ever, ever, ever pay back God for Jesus. The act of giving himself away gave him great joy. And he's reminding us that when we give, when we love, serve, and give to those who can never pay us back, we can experience joy too. When we're concerned about worship, we give generously, we love generously, we serve sacrificially. When we make worship about ourselves, then every amount of love, any time spent serving, any amount of money or energy given to the marginalized feels painful. And there's no joy because it's about us. But when it's about God, and we imitate Jesus, we imitate God, we resemble our heavenly dad, we will experience joy. That's what the scriptures promise. And Cornerstone, as an organization, one church, we are one church in a major city of our country. Cornerstone cannot address every issue of systemic brokenness, injustice, mistreatment, and inequality in this world. We just can't. That's not going to stop us from providing opportunities and events and things to sign up for so that we can participate with reputable organizations. And a couple weeks back, Pastor Danny gave us a list, a good list to start with. And in a couple weeks, our young adult community groups are going to spend an entire week trying to do missional outreach in Boston. We're going to make these efforts. But the leadership of this church knows that it's not enough. One church, we just can't do everything. But if 200 and maybe 300 of us sitting here today, we start to meaningfully serve those who have been forgotten, ignored, neglected, and oppressed, we can start to make an impact on this world in the name of Jesus. We can start to show the world what true worship looks like, giving all of ourselves away and experience immense joy because of the pleasure of the Father. We start to show the world what they really need is not the government to change, laws to be reversed, money to be given. What they really need is to worship the one and true God of the universe. So, three steps. I want to give you three practical steps in serving the marginalized to start applying this to our lives, all of us. I need to grow in this area as well. First is to be a student. Be a student. Learn more about an issue that you already have a passion for, an interest in. Because without accurate information, we will not be able to find the most helpful and healthy ways to alleviate the conditions of the marginalized. There are so many good-intended people who try to serve the marginalized with bad information. Learn more about an issue so that you know which organizations are doing the right thing in a holistically beneficial way. Not only learn more about the issue itself, but hear the stories of the individuals. Each person has a story. When we hear their story, we stop seeing them as people to be pitied or people who are somehow less fortunate than us. We start seeing them as our neighbor. We start to see them as fellow image bearers of God. Be a student. Ask a lot of questions. Don't assume anything. Liking and sharing something on Facebook on an issue is not enough. Be a student. Second, be an intercessor. Be an intercessor. Won't you start praying for the marginalized? And just commit to praying for the brokenness in this world in your personal devotions. Put it into your calendar. Put it in your journals. And in fact, we have monthly prayer parties where members of the prayer ministry and other folks are praying intentionally beyond our personal lives. Yeah, we'll pray for one another, but we have so many more prayer topics to lift. And then lastly, be a servant. Be a servant. Invest your time, energy, and financial resources in serving the marginalized. And I'm going to be blunt. Following Jesus is costly. It is. But it's always worth it. You know that time, energy, and even money that you might be giving? My prayer is that you experience joy that's far more weighty and worthwhile than those things. And believe it or not, approximately 80% of the world lives on less than $10 a day. We easily spend that on one meal, don't we? 80% of the world lives on less than $10 a day, and we easily spend that on one meal. The fasting that the Israelites were doing were depriving themselves for self-gain. And in Isaiah, God is saying, if you're going to deprive yourself for those who have been forgotten. And we don't really need new ideas. If we went around and asked each person, hey, what does serving the marginalized look like? We would have a long list of suggestions of people to care for. And again, we simply can't do it, but if you care for it, be a student of it, get others to care together. Maybe there are like-minded people. And get to it. Because I believe as you do it, you'll experience God's presence and God's glory. This is the secret ingredient. Secret ingredient to our worship, to becoming a church without walls. Serving the marginalized is true worship because it moves us away from seeing worship as what I want and moves us towards worship as what God wants. Serving the marginalized is not about others needing us. It's about us needing God and our neighbors needing God. His presence, His glory is what we gain as we serve the marginalized. And through that, when we're motivated by worship, not by duty, this obligation, that's when we're going to change the world in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's pray together. God, this is your church. We've gone through several weeks of investigating this new mission and vision through your word. And our prayer is that it would not be a checklist. It would not be a checklist, but it would be formative in the way we view you, in the way we view this world, so that you would get more worship. That is our ultimate motivation. And for some of us here, if we've been coming Sunday after Sunday with this attitude of, what can I get out of worship? We ask that you would forgive us. We ask that we would start to reorient our hearts. In fact, we ask that you would do the heart surgery and heart transformation that's necessary so that we would see your character. A heavenly Father who gives extravagantly to those who can never, ever pay him back. And that whenever we imitate that with the desire to bring your glory, you want to be near. You want your presence to be right there, imminent. And you experience much pleasure. You get all the glory in those situations. So we pray that our worship would not just be about ourselves. Our worship would start to be oriented with arrows pointing out into the world. So equip everybody here, every person, every sister, every brother here. To engage in true worship. Worship that leads to serving the marginalized. We pray that you would be pleased and honored, and that even though this sermon series is over, that we would be one church family pursuing this vision as best as we can, because we want the kingdom of God to be real here in Boston. We need your help to do it. Help us to not take any credit. You get all the glory, Lord. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.